Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Dave Wunstead hanging out with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We're having a nice conversation with Coach Wunstead on the Score Hotline, brought to you by Aturo, your all-weather tire, aturo.com. And Coach, do you like the group they put together? What's your take on where they're at? A week after the hiring, they're already kind of getting things together. They got an offensive coordinator, a defensive coordinator. They've got generational guys. They've brought in some assistant coaches, and they've got some more hires to make.
Yeah, I like it. I'll tell you why. I think Ben's done a nice job of, you know, on defense. He's got a guy, obviously Dennis Allen, that's an experienced defensive guy, but he's got an ex-head coach that things are going to come up, obviously, the first few years that are new to him, the decisions he's going to have to make, situations, whether it be on the field, off the field. It's nice to have a sounding board. I like that. And the offensive coordinator, everything I hear about the guy, you know, he's an up-and-comer, there's no question. But, you know, Ben's going to run the offense. Ben's going to call the plays. So this guy's going to be really helpful. As far as when the decisions are made on offense, this is how I would see it playing out. And now it's got to be put on paper, and it's got to be inserted, and it's got to be organized. That's what this guy will be doing. And then on game day, it'll be Ben's eyes in the sky, as we say. And I've always thought you could see things a lot better up in the press box where you got everything in front of you. You know, on paper and the computers now and everything as compared to the field. So I like his hires. You know, I think as long as he lets Dennis Allen bring in a few defensive guys, which I think he's doing, that really save him some time of having to explain the defense. I think they're off to a great start.
Declan Doyle comes with Sean Payton's stamp of approval, Dave, but I do wonder, he gets a lot of attention for his age. He's 28 years old. What do you think about that relative inexperience in a job, even though he won't be calling the plays? And did you ever hire a coordinator under the age of 30?
I don't believe so. No, I did not. I'm trying to go back and think about it now. No, but I was 28 when I was calling defenses at Oklahoma State. It was a college game, but you know, it's all relative, you know, and I did all the calls, you know, so I made the decision. So, but this guy's not going to be doing that. Trust me, this is going to be Ben's offense. Ben's going to be making the decisions. And so I think the age thing does not bother me. It really doesn't, because, you know, the most important thing is having somebody that's thinking like Ben's thinking, anticipating like he's thinking. And I think that's what he hired. That's why he hired this guy.
Yeah, I think, generally speaking, what do you think is the most important position, coach, for a head coach? You know, you had Tony with you in all your stops. You guys have a close relationship. Is it the offensive line coach that really gets a team going? Is it the defensive line coach? You've had plenty of those over the years.
Yeah, I would look at it this way. Offense, the way the game has changed and the rules have changed and amount of time that you can practice with pads and scrimmage and be live contact, offensive line is the most important, because you're getting guys that are doing less in college and less in high school. You know, I see it with my grandsons. I mean, they don't do anything. I mean, very little live contact. So the only way you can get better in the offensive line and defensive line is having the pads on and doing live work. You can't go out and catch passes or throw passes or you know, do ball drills and stuff like that as an offensive defensive lineman. So I would say the offensive lineman, the biggest thing on defense, I always felt like I needed to have one of my defensive coaches, and it was always Clarence Brooks. It was Butch Davis when we were in the early days at Miami and Dallas, and then it was Clarence Brooks at the Dolphins and the Bears, where if things were going bad on defense and you needed to upset the Gatorade table during the heat of the game, you needed somebody that could do that, okay? And the players would respect. And so, you know, I don't know. Maybe you do that now and you get sued from the players, Molly. I don't know, you know? Maybe that's a violation of the players, you know, the new players agreement. I don't know. But I always wanted one guy that when I could say, hey, you know, God, I remember both of those guys several times. Hey, we got to get their attention. Get them together and get them. And, boy, they go over there and you just knew. I never wanted to see what they were saying or doing, but you knew it was happening.
Dave, help us understand something about Ben Johnson and the way he will work with Ryan Poles. He clearly is the guy in the building with the most power because he's got the highest salary, or at least that's the perception. Whether they go down to the Senior Bowl this week and watch practice or whether they're grinding tape before the draft, how will that work? And you're a guy that, as a head coach, had a lot of say in personnel matters. What emboldens a coach to be that guy, and how – how much does that dynamic matter between Ben Johnson and Ryan Poles when they are deciding what traits they like and what prospects they like?
Well, I tell you what, I think I give Ryan Poles credit because I guarantee you that there was some compromise here and that there wasn't there with Flew. And from that standpoint, I mean, you know, Ryan Poles and his team are going to do the best job of evaluating guys. The biggest thing for the head coach is saying, I need a tight end that can block, or I need a defensive pass rusher. This is how I see my team and what I kind of need, Ryan. And he doesn't have time to be watching the film and deciding really, at the end of the day, who that best guy might be. That's where the trust and the work's going to come. So Ryan's looking at this on the same lens, and he comes in and says, hey, that pass rusher, this is the best guy out there, and we can get a contract done with him and so forth. So I think that, and I had Rick Spielman, and I had George Payton, and obviously Mark Hatley. I wish I would have had hats longer. You know, I've been around, you know, back at the Dolphins, it was Tom Brotz and some older guys. So Gil Brand at the Cowboys. I've been around some really, really good general managers, and that's always been the even Jimmy, for the reputation he's got of single-handedly picking and trading every player. I sat next to him in every draft, and he would turn to those scouts and say, boy, I really like this guy. Everything you guys are telling me and a little bit of film that I saw on him, we really need a guy like him. Am I missing something? You know, and they would say, no, coach, what you're seeing and what you're wanting, I mean, that's kind of who he is. Okay, let's take him. You know, so they got to depend on each other. And I'm sure that they had that plan of Ben saying, this is how many of each position I need, and I'm looking for quick offensive linemen, or I'm looking for the biggest guys I can get. And Ryan's got to give and take with that and go find those guys.
I'm curious, Dave, when we talk about putting together a coaching staff, do you rely on anyone? I mean, did you consult with Jimmy about guys he thought were good coaches around the league? You must have known plenty of people over the years. How do you go about that process? And, you know, maybe the good thing this time around is the Bears ended up getting the second coach hired in the cycle, and they're getting two coaches earlier than a lot of teams, a lot of times in the past.
Yeah, you know what I really like about Ben, and it's kind of the way that I did it, and going back to what Jimmy did, and Johnny Majors, who I played for and coached for at Pitt when we won that national championship, he had guys around him that, you know, you got to have one or two sounding boards. In other words, if I didn't know the guy personally and have a relationship with him, or it was Tony Wise on my staff, that I could turn to and say, does this guy fit in with us? And, you know, you needed, I was kind of that guy with Jimmy when we hired, you know, the Norv Turner, Dave, you know, with, and I said, hey, I worked with Norv. Norv fits in, you know, and I see Ben hiring guys, whether they're young or where he's getting them from, he has ties in, either at the Dolphins or he's crossed paths with them, you know, at this thing or wherever, and he has a relationship with these guys, and he knows what he's hiring. I really think that's valuable. And there's a lot of smart coaches out there, and a lot of that you want the guys that are going to be good staff guys, that are going to work the hours that you want to work and how you want to go about it, and have the character that you're looking for, you know. And I think that's what Ben's doing. I think he's going about it the right way. Now, whether he's referring to anybody else, I don't know. You know, the Paytons or the Campbells, I don't know. But that's kind of how I was brought up in that realm. And, you know, and I hired one or two guys in my whole career that nobody, that we just, it was third-party recommendations. And it really never worked out, never really worked out. So, Dave, whatever that's worth, yeah. And I think you do that with all jobs. That's how you get the most productive people.
Curious what your perspective is as a kind of old school football lifer and in the coaching industry. All you guys have agents. And we heard from Rick Smith on the Bears Banter podcast talking to Bill Zimmerman be extremely candid and open. And I think he pulled the curtain back a little bit more than anybody expected about the process and negotiating with the Bears and his view of the Bears now under Kevin Warren and Ryan Poles. How does that go over with the client? Do you want your agent to be that open with the media? Do you think it even was something that Ben Johnson noticed? And how would you respond if you had an agent that was as public about the negotiation and that process as Rick Smith was about dealing with the Bears?
Well, if he's going to say something positive, I wouldn't have a problem with it. You know, I wouldn't want him saying, oh, boy, we hoodwinked, you know, we pulled one over on the Bears. You know, the Vegas didn't even offer us or anything like that. God, I curious heck wouldn't want that. But if he comes out and says, I chose the Bears because of Kevin Warren and Ryan Poles and the history or whatever, you know, that's fine. That's fine. I don't have a problem with that. But, yeah, that's always a tough thing for the head coaches. I would get the guys lined up. I remember my first staff with the Bears with Joe Pendry and Ivan Fears and Ron Turner and Mike Shula, all the guys that I hired. I hated to talk about the money. I always wished they had someone to talk to. Because, you know, that's just an uncomfortable thing. I always thought it was. And, you know, so the agent thing doesn't bother me as far as them using them to negotiate their contracts. But as far as the media, if they're going to say something positive, find it. Otherwise, you know, don't pat yourself on the back and tell us how you took advantage of us.
It's an interesting point. I said to David, that red, like an off-the-record conversation that somehow was completely on the record. Because sometimes you hear stuff like that, but you certainly wouldn't get it, you know, on any kind of a media outlet.
Yeah, Well, Mark Davis came out yesterday. I read it and said, we never offered Ben Johnson, that we got our guy. You know, Pete Carroll. Good. Okay, come on. You know, you kidding me?
Yeah.
He said it yesterday. I read it.
Yeah. So, Dave, help us out. So, here you are. This is just the beginning of the process, right? He's going to have to spend a lot of time with the quarterback. Presumably, you know, JT Barrett will spend a lot of time with the quarterback. Ditto, the head coach, the offensive contributor that he brought in, also from Detroit. Antoine Randall-El is the wide receivers coach, but I know there are limitations for when you meet and how you do it. How is the communication work in the off season? Will they communicate? Will he send them some plays, some ideas, some tape? How will that work before they get together?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't know what they can do in person as far as the rules and what they can get. No, not what they can do, what they can get away with.
Right.
But no, playbooks are going to be these guys at the key positions. You know, the defense, I wouldn't worry about that. They'll get bored anyway in these OTAs. So you'll get there going when they get here. But the quarterback is the main guy, the guy that, and once they get in the building, then you can pretty much do what you want, you know. I mean, you can't get on the field with them, but as far as meeting time and talking to them, so that won't be a problem getting caught up. I mean, I think that would be a no problem whatsoever. And it's good to be here. I mean, the one thing that, you know, obviously he's had success the last couple of years on offense, and everybody saw Detroit this year. So I think it's going to be exciting for Taylor, and it's going to be exciting for our running back. I'm excited to see what he thinks about running backs. And really, we're talking about one guy, Swift. Yeah. We know he likes him. He's dangerous to him.
All right, we lost Dave a little bit. Yeah, losing connection with him.
Yeah.
I wanted to talk to him about the Cowboys and what they were doing, and hiring Brian Schottenheimer and Jerry Jones, acknowledging how big of a risk it was, and then turning around and getting ready to hire Matt Eberflus, but probably circumventing the Rooney Rule. So, fun times down in Dallas, business as usual. But interesting stuff from Dave.
No doubt. It's always fun to talk to Dave about it. I really think that it is advantageous that the Bears have resolved it as quickly as they have, because it gives them more time. Coach, do we have you back? I believe Dave's back with us. Hey, Coach?
Yes, sir.
Oh, he's
here.
Back. All
there
right.
You go.
Great.
Dave, so we were talking about the Cowboys. What's going on in Dallas? They hire Brian Schottenheimer. Jerry Jones acknowledges how big of a risk it was. And now they're adding Matt Eberflus, but they can't announce it yet because they have to meet the criteria for the Rooney Rule, and they did not do that, apparently.
Yeah. You know what? God, I forgot. I listened to that press conference yesterday. I couldn't hang up listening. Hearing Jerry is so good. I mean, you know, when he got on that press conference and started talking, he is good. I mean, he can talk you into buying land in the swamp. You know, I mean, it was impressive, I thought. And, you know, Schottenheimer, I mean, I knew his dad real well.
Yeah.
I didn't know the kid. And so he comes from a football family, and Billy's not going to change his ways. That's the biggest message in this thing. I'm not going to bring in Bill Belichick and change the way I do things on a weekly basis and a monthly basis. So this is the team, and this is the guy that I wanted, and he went with them. So, you know, I mean, I don't know. I mean, is that a different hire than hiring Glenn or hiring Pete Carroll probably for a year or two there? I don't know if it really is, guys. You know, I really don't.
You know, what's interesting to me is that Matt Eberflus gets a job as quickly as he did. They've got to, you know, fulfill the Rooney Rule before they can officially hire him. But by all accounts, he's headed to Dallas. That's a good landing spot for him, because he is that veteran presence for a young coach. And he's also a guy that's done a pretty good job calling defenses.
Coach, he is a heck of a defensive coach, and fans, listeners now can you know, call up and say what they want. This guy can coach defense. He understands it. I think he's proven that. He was at Dallas for 7 years, I believe, six or 7 years. So he knows how Jerry and everybody operates. And just what you said, Molly, he's going to be a good sounding board for Scotty and, you know, in situations, obviously. And you can never fault the defense all the time that Flus was here. We can talk about the screw-up at the offensive coordinator, never really having an offensive philosophy in my mind, and some of the end-of-game decisions which head coaches got to make, but you can't fault them for the defense.
Good stuff, Dave.
Thanks, Dave. Great catching up.
Have a good week.
All right. Okay, guys, you too.
That is Coach Wanstead. He's down in Naples, and it's warm.
It's warm there, and it's not going to be bad
here. It's nice here.
It's going to hit 50 by Saturday.
Are you going outside running, or are you worried about the wind?
No, I'm going back out. The little problem with the workout facilities here, so I need to go outside to run.
Oh, is it bad?
Well, no, the renovation. Improvement. Yeah.
Yeah, it's all improvement.
It's all going to be improvement.
We're going through some improvement.
Exactly. We definitely are. And join Austin Huff. Listen up now. Join Austin Huff, US 99 in Circus Sports, Illinois at Blue Bayou, 3734 North Southport in Chicago for a very special big game bash, 2 to 8 on Sunday, February 9th. That's Austin Huff. He knows a little bit about football, and he knows country music. There's 30 high-def screens, amazing New Orleans-inspired food, and, of course, the big game. The party is exclusive for Circus Sports Illinois customers. Download the app to get in and RSVP today.
Yeah, it's fantastic stuff. It's Molly and Haw at Chicago Sports Radio 670. The score.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
Put your seatbelts on and get ready for the ride. Listen, there are going to be some challenges. But with challenges becomes opportunity, gets opportunity. But here's what I do know. We're the freaking New York Jets. So we're built for this.
Molly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 the score. Got Mike Florio coming up at 8:45. Looking forward to that conversation. That was Aaron Glenn, the Jets' new head coach, introduced on Monday, along with several other new head coaches around the league. Aaron Glenn, maybe the spiciest intro. They are the Jets. They're built for that. And then the clip went viral. Aaron Glenn, former Jets cornerback. I think when you look at what they expect out of him in year one, is what are you going to do about Aaron Rodgers? And obviously that was a point of contention. They don't know yet. Woody Johnson says he's going to stay out of it. So we'll see if he can stay out of it. I do think when you look at what the Jets did on Monday, like what the Raiders did on Monday, like what the Cowboys did on Monday, what the Jaguars did on Monday, it was introducing new coach day around the NFL. And when you look at the teams that had coaching vacancies, I think that you come to the conclusion the Bears won that coaching derby. The Bears are the team that came out of it on top. And I know there are no parades and there are no awards and the off season is the off season. And it's a tired story in Chicago where we look to January as a month full of transition, a month full of change at Hallis Hall. very seldom do we look at playoff games and break those down the way teams at other playoff cities and NFL cities do. But that is the case. But for the first time in how long, the Bears have won the head coaching derby, and they got the guy that other people wanted. And I think that may be, it's not a provincial point of view. I think if you looked around the NFL and talked to NFL media, NFL observers, league executives, guys who follow the league, they would say that of Aaron Glenn going to the Jets, Pete Carroll going to the Raiders, Liam Cohen going to the Jags, Brian Schottenheimer going to the Cowboys, the Saints have yet to hire a guy, but I just don't think that their hire will be as impressive as Ben Johnson going to the Bears. 312-644-6767. Let's go out to the phone lines. Jeff, good morning, Jeff. How you doing?
Hey, good morning, David and Mully. I was thinking about this. If the Pittsburgh Steelers retain Fields, which I've been watching some podcasts and some information on that, and that looks like a possibility, and Eberflus gets hired by Dallas, next year in Soldiers Field, you have Pittsburgh visiting and Dallas visiting, I believe. So you're going to have Fields coming back to Chicago and Eberflus coming back to Chicago, which could make for an interesting thing, just as a side note on the schedule for next year. But also, my brother called me yesterday and asked me, he lives in Chicago, and he stopped following the Bears for a while. He asked me if we had done well, and I said, well, we got the right coach. We got the coach I wanted. But I said, the only problem is we've had 3 years where we haven't really built up the team that he needs. So I don't know how much the cap is going to help us and how much the draft is going to help us, but they're probably at least still 2 years behind where they need to be. But, yeah, I thought the interesting thing would be the homecomings for a couple ex-Bears.
Thanks, Jeff. Appreciate the phone call. I have to say, in all honesty,
yeah,
I don't have a lot of interest in Matt Eberflus coming back. I don't look at the last 3 years as being memorable for the right reasons. And I don't know what impact.
No video tribute?
No, I don't think there. Look, Flus put in his time, and he tried his best, but I don't think that he made a mark. I don't think that him coming back to play the Bears as a defensive coordinator of the Cowboys does much for me. Justin Fields, if he were quarterbacking the Steelers, that might be different because he is a guy that when he last was in uniform at Soldier Field, they chanted his name. With Matt Eberflus, I don't think anybody's going to miss him.
Didn't they chant "Fire Flusy"?
Yeah, but it's different.
I'm just making a joke.
Yeah.
So here's what's going on. Art Donovan, the second, and Art Donovan, Steelers president owner of Art Rooney, the second, spoke yesterday, and he basically said that the team's plan was to bring back one of Russell Wilson and Justin Fields.
Yeah.
It doesn't know it both of those guys are
doesn't
headed
work.
To free agency, yeah. But they will bring back one of them. They're also looking in the draft for a quarterback because they need sort of a full-time resolution of that problem. They'll be looking at who's available, but that is obviously the number one thing. You know, the Steelers finished the season poorly. They were a surprise 10-2, was it, to start the season, and then they lost four games at the end of the year. They won a game, but then they lost in the playoffs, right, one and done. Mm-hmm. They haven't won a playoff game in like 8 years or something, 7 or 8 years. So he understands that they've got to make some kind of change. And the thinking is that he would like to bring back one of the two, and I don't know which one.
Yeah, you can't afford both under the cap.
Which one would you want? And then you're going to draft one.
I really think that it depends on what stage you think you're at. I think that the answer could easily be none of the above.
Yeah.
If you're wanting to start over and have a mini sort of reloading or rebuilding or retooling in Pittsburgh, you could justify that. I would probably lean toward Russell Wilson, but I understand why they may not because of the youth factor. You know, Justin Fields has limitations, and he also has some explosiveness. It's the story in Chicago. Nobody is surprised at that balance that they're trying to strike. So interesting that they won't bring both of them back. Or you could see Russell Wilson reuniting with Pete Carroll in Vegas. That could be something if he's on the free agent market. I did not
could
mention.
Could you see that?
They yeah, possibly.
Not, they
possibly.
Did not get along at the end.
Never know, though. Time changes a lot of things. The Patriots did hire Mike Vrabel, obviously. That seemed like such a long time ago. He's another guy. But I do feel like still, when you look around the eyebrow raiser, the biggest surprise of the head coaching cycle, I think, was the way the Bears conducted business to go out and they get Ben Johnson. That, to me, was the biggest headline of the head coaching cycle. Probably the biggest surprise around the league, because seldom have the Bears gotten the guy that they targeted. And this is the guy who everybody wanted, and they ended up with him.
Do you think that will aid them in getting free agents in here? In other
no
words,
doubt about it.
They have a there was a vision of the Bears as, you know, kind of, you know, questionable front office. The fact that they go out and they spend the money and get the guy that they had earmarked for the job, does that, if you're a free agent, I suppose the answer is, if you're an offensive player, you probably want to join the team, right?
Yeah, I think that Ben Johnson will improve the stature of the Bears around the league for free agents. I think that he will definitely make it more appealing of a destination for offensive players, especially offensive linemen, perhaps, because they want to play in an offense that has been as successful as his has been in Detroit the last several years. That's the good news. I don't know if this is the bad news, but it did make me wonder. You know, free agency is a lot about cash on hand. And it's a lot about cash up front. And so I do wonder if paying a coach $13 million a year, even though it's not under the salary cap,
raises the expectation
Or organizationally
makes them less likely to want to spend.
How much money do they have?
They got almost $75 million available.
No, I mean the
cap.
I know the cap. The cap is accounting. The cap is accounting. And the cap is something that...
You think they spent all their cash?
I don't know. I want to know if that's a valid concern or question to ask.
I mean, if they can't afford $13 million for a coach, get out of the business.
Okay. All right.
And you're running things the wrong way.
Well, but it wouldn't be the first time, Molly. You know
fire,
this.
Fire six executive vice presidents and sign a player.
But you know that this would that the Bears have in the past gone into free agency, and even though they have signed contracts, cash on hand has been a topic of conversation and a relative concern. This isn't, as we know, a organization that's owned by a family that has another business. This is the family business. That's all they got. So I wonder, you know.
Yeah, but it's a $6.4 billion business. Like, can't you get
not,
a loan?
It should not affect can't it. You, but
hey, look, is this Bank of America? Look, I got a really nice asset here. I'm wondering if I could get a loan against it.
I don't think Kevin Warren would let that happen because of the way that he has been very aggressive in his spending and the way that he has replenish the front office and administration, the way that he has not let cost be an object when going after Ben Johnson. So if they want a free agent guard and they want to set the market for Trey Smith, hypothetically, my guess is that the Bears would be compelled to do just that, and that would be the best way to approach free agency.
Would you do that if you were running things? Is that the guy you would earmark
yes.
for it? Yeah.
Yeah, that would be the number one priority in free agency. Go out and make a statement about your offensive line and how you're going to recommit to it and overpay if you have to. That's the nature of free agency. You may have overpaid for your head coach. You don't know that yet, but you had to try, and you had to make a statement. And what the statement the Bears made by getting Ben Johnson and paying him so he's the seventh highest paid coach in the league right now, is that we're serious about winning.
312-644-6767. Let's try Donnie. Donnie is on the south side. Hey, Donnie.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Long-time listener, first-time caller. Thanks for having me. I was just, you know, watching that Liam Cohen press conference last night. I think we dodged something. He reminded me of the offensive Eberflus right there. And I'm glad, you know, Poles and Co. kind of laid down the law and went and got Ben Johnson whipped out the paycheck and, you know, went and got the guy.
It's good call, Donnie. I wonder if what was it about that news conference that reminded you of Eberflus?
It takes complementary football at all three phases to be great. Offense, defense, and special teams. How do we want to play the game? And that's fast. Fundamentally sound, attacking, situational masters, and tough. Both mentally and physically.
I mean, come on.
What if Ben Johnson had said that?
The best thing about Liam Cohen is that he better hope that nobody's paying attention in Jacksonville.
You know what?
Duval.
Oh, yeah, that was the worst part. Hey, Nick Sirianni fell on his face about as much as you can.
Yeah, that's
and that
true.
Guy's in the Super Bowl for the second time.
Okay.
Maybe he wins one. Does that change the way you look at
it? You can't have it both ways. You can't mock a guy at a press conference and then introduce Nick Sirianni
as an example. I think I just did that. Okay. I just had it both ways.
I have
the
my
first
doubts.
Part of being smart is knowing what to do. We're gonna have systems in place.
That guy's got a general manager that's one of the best in NFL history.
Yes.
So that helps Nick Sirianni deal with his inability to communicate clearly on things that he should be better at communicating. But give him credit. 4 seasons, 2 Super Bowls. Yes, that's what you take that anywhere for any head coach. Liam Cohen, I don't think he's going to be on the same track. Maybe he'll be very good for Trevor Lawrence. They've got to unlock whatever's been holding him back.
All right, we're going to bring in Mike Florio next. We're going to do it fast. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
Mike Florio, ProFootballTalk.com, NBC Sports, Twitter.com/ProFootballTalk.
Day by day.
We get better and better.
We get better and better. NFL insider Mike Florio with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Always a delight to talk to Mike Florio, and he joins us on thanks to the Score Hotline brought to you by Aturo, your all-weather tire, aturo.com. Michael, good morning. How are you?
Doing great. How are you guys?
Oh, we're all pumped up. You know, things are going swimmingly here in Chicago now that the Ben Johnson era has begun and the coaches are being added to the group, and it feels like the Bears are moving ever forward.
It's a great sign. And, you know, I do have one comment as it relates to coaching hires. And I've made this comment and observation from time to time. And I want to give special credit and mention to Pete Carroll, the new coach of the Raiders, because of all of the coaches hired so far in this cycle, he's the only one who realized you don't have to wear a suit to your introductory press conference. Remember the old line from Walk the Line, Johnny Cash, Joaquin Phoenix, what's with all the black, looks like you're going to a funeral, maybe I am. These guys dress for their press conference like they're going to a funeral. Pete Carroll, yes, there's no need for a jacket and a tie and a starched shirt. Just show up and be yourself. You're never going to wear a suit on the sideline. Why would you wear a suit for your introductory press conference? Man, it makes me feel so much better to unburden myself.
Oh, that's a great one, Mike. I never thought of that. So a lot of people in Chicago think the Bears got the guy that everybody wanted. Maybe they won the coaching derby, so to speak. If they did, they did. But who got the worst of it? Who is the team that maybe swung and missed during this round?
Well, boy, you're giving me some low-hanging fruit here. Before I say that, yesterday, Mark Davis, the Raiders owner, made it clear that they were very interested in Ben Johnson. There had been widespread reports that they wanted him, that they were going to make a play for him. Now, he did say they never made an offer, but they didn't have a chance to make an offer. They couldn't do it at all until the Lions finished their season, and then he made a beeline for the Bears, and that was that for the Raiders. But this Cowboys thing is ridiculous to me. Because why do you think you're going to be better equipped to pursue a Super Bowl by not bringing back the head coach and promoting someone from his staff? And the fact that they leaked it to NFL media at 9:43 p.m. Eastern on Friday night and announced it 2 minutes later, at the low point of the weekly NFL news cycle, they bury it, they hide it. When they could have tried to Bigfoot the Eagles-Commanders playoff game by leaking it during the game, they leaked the news 5 years ago that Jason Garrett wouldn't be back by dropping it during a Seahawks-Eagles playoff game. The fact that it ended up being leaked on Friday night and reported 2 minutes later tells you everything you need to know about what they believe is the sizzle factor in this. And hey, he could end up being great. He could be the next Vince Lombardi. All he needs is an opportunity. But this thing is not exciting any Cowboys fans, and it's getting more of them to understand that Jerry Jones, when he says, "You'd be surprised by the size of the check that I would write if I knew that it would guarantee me a Super Bowl win," we'd be surprised at how small it is, because he's more concerned about making money than he is winning championships. He's got to act like he's obsessed with winning a championship to make as much money as he can.
Is there, when you look at the Bears having hired the guy they wanted and now getting their staff together, is there an advantage to moving as quickly as they did? And given how surprising it was that they moved as quickly as they did, do you think their reputation has changed as they head to free agency?
Yeah, I think that it's a message that things have changed at the top of the organization, and that hires like Kevin Warren and Ryan Poles have persuaded George McCaskey to do things differently. And I may have said this last week with you guys. I don't know, because it all blends together and blurs together for me. But I almost feel like the resurgence of the Lions, because they were the doormat of the division for decades. Now the Lions are kicking everybody's ass. Is that the thing that caused George to say, man, I got to do things differently now? Even the Lions are better than we are. Are you kidding me? The Lions? We can do it too. All it takes is a commitment and real change. And I like the idea that they move quickly to get the guys they wanted because, and again, I may have said this last week as well, the first credibility test for a new coach is, can he deliver on the names he laid out during his interview as to who he'd add to his staff? And if this guy can go out and boom, here's this guy, boom, here's that guy, boom, here's this guy. This is a guy who acts on his word is his bond, he gets things done. And there's a dotted line between that and getting a football team ready to go out and win.
Mike, in a minute, update us on where the NFL is with technology so we don't have bad spots in playoff games.
Well, the NFL is still stuck in the early 1920s, the days of the Charleston and, right, the Roaring 20s and before the stock market crash and Boardwalk Empire, Prohibition. But they still rely on two sticks, 10 yards of chain link, and middle-aged men and women who try to determine with the naked eye, as they're trying not to be trampled by the gladiators in full regalia, whether or not the football got to where the football was supposed to go. And then to top it all off, in a scrum-like play like we saw on Sunday, fourth and inches early in the fourth quarter, you've got this weird mating dance between the side judge and the line judge or the down judge, whatever judge, two judges facing each other. They both claim territory as to what the spot is. And as they move together, it really could be like a National Geographic special. As the two move together, one defers to the other. One becomes the alpha, one becomes the beta. And on Sunday night, if it had flipped, the Bills would have had a first down because one of the officials had it on the right side of the 40. The other official had it on the wrong side of the 40. The 40 was the magic number, and the official who had it on the right side of the 40 deferred to the other one. That is as high tech. It's not even low tech. It's no tech that the NFL goes. And I don't want to hear excuses at this point. I just want change. They've got the money to do it, and we all need to say, do it. And we need to say it loudly or they never will.
Great stuff, Mike. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, Mike.
See you guys.
That is Mike Florio. 312-644-6767. Mully and Haw on the score.